Hey everybody, welcome back to Lessons Learned, the podcast where we aim to turn our experiences into your wisdom. I'm Randy, here today with Chris, Jared, Joe, and Talon. And today we're going to be talking all about leadership. So Chris, as our leader, why don't you take us in?
Ooh, I wouldn't know if I'm the leader, dude. You're going to frustrate some of these people.
Yeah, screw that guy.
Yeah, bug facts.
Bug facts.
Yeah, what's today's date? Hold on, one sec. October 25th. Guess what? It's snowing, boys.
Snowing in Nebraska, bro.
Oh, yeah, I forgot we're not all in Nebraska.
Hey, you goober.
It's not snowing here, but it's kind of cold.
Sad day.
Yeah, I love the snow. I'm happy.
It's not even November, bro.
Doesn't matter. I love it.
Come on.
Christmas music on the way over here today. No shame.
No.
I love snow, but if it's just like freezing outside with no snow, it's the worst day ever.
I agree with that.
But it's snowing, so we're good.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, all right. So leadership today, both the good and the bad. We all have some great experiences, and something I tend to take away from all leadership, I guess, good and bad scenarios is that there's always something to learn, whether it's a bad person or a good person. Like the bad leaders, you know what not to do. The good leaders, you know what you should replicate. So
could you say it would be a lesson learned?
It is a lesson learned, absolutely. Yeah.
We're a minute and a half in and we did it already. Guys, good job. Gosh. We are done.
Classic.
That's a wrap. Yeah. No. With that, let's go ahead. I'm going to hand it over to Joey first.
Wow.
See what kind of leadership stories he has in his repertoire.
Honestly, repertoire. Like, that's a big word. I was not ready to go first, but I always word like talking. Leadership. The first person that comes to my mind is my current shift lead, who is unfortunately leaving me to go to Japan here soon, and how he is an excellent role model for a supervisor, a leader, anything, all of the above. So ever since I got here to Dover, this guy, like, so obviously...
You mean when you were 11?
Shut up. When I got back to Dover in the military, so, you know, 2 years ago. So I'm sure the other three military members here, they know how you have a supervisor, the one who writes all your packages and bullet points and kind of puts you up for promotions, right?
Sure.
All right. Well, so I didn't have that when I got here. Like, I had one dude who was never here, and then he went and did different jobs, and he's crossing the army, and... My one supervisor, my shift lead, kind of pretty much took me in under his wing, and he was always there for me. He was like, I don't know, he always cracked jokes with me, kind of built me up as an airman and a person. He was always giving me advice on how to do work. He's actually the one who even got me in this house that I'm currently living in. So pretty much what I'm saying is this dude was such a great leader that he... went out of his way to connect with me on a personal level so much, like, kind of get me in his house and everything like that. So he was connecting with me outside of work and inside of work as well.
Yeah, so that's really important as a supervisor to have is, you know, not only do they work with you at work and they look out for you there, keyword, you know, looking out for you. That's really important in my opinion. Well, I'll get back to that. But they also do that outside of work, and, like, he helped you get into that house and everything, like, that's just going the extra mile. And to me, like, that's going to make you respect him even more. Like, even if he tells you something, like, you know, it's tough love, like, you got to do it, suck it up. Like, he's been there for you. You know, he's got your back both in and outside of work. So it's like, yeah, you're right. You know, I'll just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's those kind of leaders that you really aspire to be when you grow up, and you kind of look at them as role models and say, hey, that's the kind of person I want to be when I get to that position, because that he was the great role model for me.
Yeah. I mean, Joe, you said the key word, that he's a mentor to you. And that's one of the best things for a leader to be, is to be a mentor. Like, you're supposed to, I mean, be a good role model, and you're supposed to help them, like, just be a better person in general. It doesn't have to necessarily be, like, at the job at hand. It's just you want to better that person.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're a supervisor, Talon. So what's something you implement at work, or, like, maybe you wish you did a little bit more? Let's just hear your... From the supervisor perspective, like, what do you do to be a good supervisor or a good leader?
So to me, the most important leadership goal, like, I mean, or like mostly important leadership characteristic to me is that the people should come first no matter what. And in all honesty, like, if someone came to me and was like, hey, I need help with this, is like, but I'm busy with, like, work or whatever. It's like, honestly, I think almost like probably 99% of the time, their personal issues is going to be like the most important thing that they need to take care of at the moment. So I don't honestly, like, yeah, I'm a supervisor, but like haven't had a lot of opportunity with it just because like some of them, like, they've been busy, I've been busy. It's like I've talked to them like twice, so it doesn't really feel like it. I mean, you know our job, like, people are deployed all the time and everything.
Oh, so yeah, we're all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you have like a supervisor on paper, but it's like a lot of the time they're not supervising day to day. So
yeah. How about you, Jared? Do you have like a leader, not even necessarily at our work, but like anywhere else in life, that you look up to, I should say?
Yeah, so I've had a few mentors in the military, and I think the thing that stood out most about them that made them my mentors above other people is that they cared about you more on a personal level, about your overall like well-being, and then of course about how you performed on the job. So it's kind of like a balance between making sure your members are good in their personal lives at home, and then also making sure they're able to perform and you give them the tools that they need to still accomplish the mission. I think that's important to find a balance.
Yeah. And I know
that's necessary though, because if in their personal life, if they're not taken care of in that sense, they're not going to be able to give their all to like their professional life. So that's why leaders need to care about that person, their personal life.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree. There's a really good book I read. actually, you remember, we used to have a guy in our squadron. He's no longer at, in Omaha. However, he started a book club in our squadron. And, one of the first books he recommended to read was Leaders Eat Last by Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
What a great book. Like, just the title alone, that's the first self-help book I've completely read through and really learned a lot from and enjoyed reading it. I mean, just the title alone, it's like Leaders Eat Last. So it's like, take care of all your people first, and then you come. Like, and
that already caught my attention.
Yeah, that's an outstanding mm-hmm. book and an outstanding outlook on how to be a great leader. And I've had a lot of good leadership. Like, for example, I was studying for a test, and like our flight commander, so I guess in the civilian world would be like your manager, basically. Not really a supervisor, but like even above that. She sat down with me and she just helped me study for like 2 months. Like, I would come to work, I would do work for a little bit, and then she's like, all right, stop doing that. I'll take care of the rest. I want you to study. Here's some math problems. Do that. Like, get back in the zone and like get deep and like do these hard math problems, and then come back to me with what you have. And I'll take time out of my day to check it and see if you're good. And like, to me, that was amazing.
So she was kind of, giving you the time to, you know, do work in the office like you should be doing, but then also excel in your own like professional goals.
Yep. So I would come in and do like 2 hours of office work and help them out, like the whole office. And then, you know, like once things were a little under control and she could just do the rest, she would just be like, go do that. Cause it was bettering myself as to become an officer. So I took the AFOQT. I passed it with her help, which is phenomenal. I didn't get picked up the first time, and I don't know if I'm going to reapply, but we'll see. But so like just the fact that she was willing to do that is just incredible. Like, I'll never forget that. And our squadron alone, I know it's a lot of military base right now for our stories. So yeah, we talked about it a few episodes ago of how my emergency leave was approved to go see my grandfather. And like that leadership where it's like, don't worry about anything. You'll handle it when you get back. Like, go see your family. Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself. Like, phenomenal. That is how you lead. Like, that's looking out for people's personal lives, because you know they're not going to perform, or they're going to hold a grudge against you for the rest of the time they're working with you if you don't let them do that.
Yeah,
exactly. It causes a lot of resentment towards, you know, bad leaders, which we'll get into later on. So, did you have anything else to add, Chris? I guess Randy.
Then. I had... But I kind of wanted to tie us back into a little bit what Jared was talking about like, you know, balance. And I think, and the particular example I like to use, especially, you know, as someone who has played sports their whole life and who's had very good coaches and who has also had very bad coaches. I think one of the most important parts about being a good leader is being able to like, to walk the fine lines. And I'm going to use an example to explain that. I think the best example is the cool coach versus the asshole coach. So you have like the cool, you have like the cool coach who's, you know, he's like chill, laid back, like he kind of wants to be your friend, like he's that guy. And then you have the asshole coach who, you know, yells at you and freaks out over every little thing you do. I don't think either of those are effective coaching methods. I think you kind of got to go like right down Main Street between the two. Like you got to be a little bit of both.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I thought you got to choose one or the other. I was like, that's interesting.
No, you got to, I imagine it kind of works across the board. I know it kind of works, I would say, in the workplace as well. You know, kind of bosses who like, they can be cool and like be friendly, but at the same time, like when shit's got to get done, then shit's got to get done. And I found that I get more respect as a coach when I'm walking that fine line where it's like, because I the problem is when you try to be the cool coach, you don't get any respect because they just view you as a peer. They view you as a friend. When you're the asshole coach, you really don't get that much. You don't get like the good kind of respect. Like they respect you because they have to, because they think, all right, well, if I fuck up, then I'm going to be running laps until I die.
It's almost like out of fear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like you got to be somewhere right down the middle where it's like they truly respect you because you're stern when you need to be, but you're also kind of like, you know, a cool guy, like a listening ear, I guess, at the same time too.
So Randy, it's kind of like the I guess the good guy bad guy kind of situation where, you know, the most effective approach is to have both scenarios. Like kind of that's how police honestly get how people to talk. That's why it's such a, you know, an effective method.
Right, it's like fuck you
about that. Yeah.
Well, so, okay, sometimes. But
well, you've seen a
movie. Hey, it works in the movies.
I've seen it in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Duh.
Yeah. Fuck.
Now I'm thinking of the other guys, where it's the bad guy and bad guy.
bad guy. Yeah.
Not so effective.
But yeah, no, it's absolutely the point of being relatable. I guess, you know, obviously when you get the friendship of your peers or your subordinates, and then you also apply the discipline at the times need be. That's honestly that fine balance that you're talking about where you get the respect efficiency.
Right. I can say from experience, like, you know, playing that kind of the cool coach card, like it's fun, but at the
talk
same,
about alliteration.
What do you mean? All right, shut up. get out of here. No, but like when you do that, when you're just kind of like when you act more like you're their friend than their, you know, superior or their coach, they kind of like they tend to walk all over you. And like, yeah, they're going to come to you with more issues. But at the same time, you know, like you don't get like that kind of respect like they would. Like they come to me with the issues because they don't feel like they can go to other coaches with the issues.
Right. And I feel like I could actually relate.
I like
to
kind of be both.
Right. Yeah, so right now, I've talked about it before. I think I'm in honor guard right now, the people who deal with the funerals for military honors and everything. And we're in a transition between our leaders at the place right now. And the last guy, I don't want to name any names, obviously, but he was not really liked by, you know, almost anyone in the whole shop. And it was because, like, he was such a... He flipped like a switch, you know, at one point, you know, you were talking to him, everything was fine, but like one slight error that we made, like he just flipped out on everyone and kind of like everyone suffered. And now the new guy coming in is the total opposite. Like he is personal, relates with us, and he's actually like caring about the job and caring about us as people. So we even have to like drive to our funeral services, you know, out of state. Like normally, you know, anywhere from an hour to 2 hour drive. And every time we leave, he tells us to drive safe. Like just something as small as that, like to show that he cares for us is it means a lot to us.
Right. You could have one guy say, don't be late. And then another guy say, just drive safe. And that makes
that
a big difference.
Yeah. Spot on.
My boss does that too. Nobody that works there leaves the place without him saying, you know, oh, get home safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
To care about your people makes you a great leader, as long as, you know, again, you're getting the job done as well.
Okay, so we got some traits, some characteristics that are like be personable, you know, look out for your people. What else makes a good leader then, in your guys' opinion?
Listening to your followers, I think, is a big one.
Yeah.
Okay. And like taking feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't be
taking feedback, taking criticism. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't be a good leader if you don't also know how to follow. So when
That I don't know where episode quote. There it is.
I read that somewhere, but I don't remember where.
Dude, I literally just heard that like this week too.
And it's
really
it's like you have to be a shepherd before, or you have to be a sheep before you can be a shepherd, or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. You have to know how to follow to lead. So. Yeah, when you listen to your the people who are following you as a leader, and taking their feedback as harsh as it might be sometimes, you know, you are able to adapt and adjust to make yourself a better leader. Never like kind of never brush something off your shoulder and just kind of like take the criticism, whether it be good or bad, and then press on.
Right, because you could be doing things one way and like you don't know it could be causing a negative effect on people until they tell you, and then like you don't know, you can't like you can't fix it unless you know about it.
Exactly.
So God, I can't really talk right now, but you know the point I'm getting at.
Yep.
Yeah, so those are some good characteristics, but you can also learn a lot from bad leaders too.
Absolutely. I got plenty of stories of bad leaders.
Oh yeah, I have a story about a bad leader.
Go for it.
I'm not gonna say any names, but so this was probably about exactly a year ago, I got a job opportunity somewhere on the East Coast. And this is one of those jobs where like the interview process is like layered and it's so extensive. Like the first stage of this process was just like a mound of paperwork, to the point where half the guys who were interested dropped out just because they saw how much paperwork was involved. So that was one step of it. And then you have a phone call, you have to answer some questions, and an online interview. And then you have to get approved from your leadership and your commander to go TDY and get approved to go TDY for the face-to-face interview. So I had already done all of this and gone through like over a month of this interview process. And I got approved to go TDY and travel. And this is when I had a line number for staff sergeant to get promoted. And someone in my leadership said, we need you to go to ALS, which is Airman Leadership School, so you can become a staff sergeant and so you can sew on rank. And I told him, and he was well aware of everything that I had gone, like all the troubles I had gone through to try to get this interview done. And they basically said, too bad, like go to this school and become a leader. We know how hard you've worked and how long you've worked to do this, but they kind of like gave me the boot.
And to put it in perspective, one thing is the job offer is about, you know, once or twice in the career opportunity to get that job that he was applying for. And Airman Leadership School can be pushed. There's no set date for it. You can go pretty much whenever, you know, like within a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
So that really strikes as like terrible leadership to not even ask you, to not say, hey, when will you be available? Like we'll flex this date just like this one time.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, if that happened again, and then like tough love, like, sorry, but you did commit to this. Remember, we worked with you the first time.
Yeah.
But just to say right off the bat and not even ask you.
No.
Like, that's shit.
The thing is, afterwards, after the fact, I found out that I wasn't going to be getting any airmen. So I wasn't going to be watching over anyone. So there was no point for me to become an NCO that quickly. And
so basically, for those who aren't in the military, just becoming a supervisor and like having people underneath you.
Yeah. So there's no reason for that leader to make you go through that, because it wasn't benefiting the unit as a whole. It was like, so you could put on rank, and that's literally it. And like at that point, it's just affecting you, because if you decided to push back going to ALS, it's like, ooh, I'll put on the rank a little bit later and I'll have to get back pay instead of getting paid immediately. It's like, that's the worst case scenario at that point.
And it goes to show you, as a leader, it's one thing to care about someone's personal life and their personal well-being so they can perform well at work. But it's another thing to actually understand the professional goals that your airmen have or that your subordinates have, and just pay attention to that, because they may want to move up in the company. They don't want to stay in this position for much longer.
Right. And Yeah. That sucks, man. And it happens a lot in the military.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people get burnt out and get out, because honestly, I would say it's about 50-50 between good leaders and bad leaders in the military. I mean, I've had equal amounts of both.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to call someone a bad leader if you don't understand everything that's involved with being a leader. There's some tough calls that you have to make for the people you watch over and the people you're taking care of. But in that instance, like in that situation, it didn't really make a whole lot of sense.
I think there's some things that are gray area, but I also think there's some things that are very black and white too.
Well, I think a good leadership characteristic in that scenario, like if you have to make a tough call, explain that.
Yeah.
Explain exactly why you are making the call this way. And be like, look, I've tried everything. Like we've gone all these different avenues. I'm literally trying to work it out for you, but it's just not going to happen. And here's why.
Dude,
like,
exactly.
Yeah. With no explanation, that's just like, why the fuck did you do that? Like, now I resent you and now I'm not going to work for you.
Can I expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So like I would say, you know, here we go. Lesson learned. Something that I wish that I had done, especially, you know, growing up playing sports, when I had coaches that were not necessarily the best coaches, I think being able to confront those people, like I'm a rational, logical person. If you can explain to me why you're doing something and you can give me a good explanation, then I don't care. But like if you're just doing things just to do it, and that was one thing that I wish I had done, and something that I do now, if someone who's a leader above me is doing something and I don't understand why, then I confront them and ask them, like I make them give me a good explanation. And I think that's something that people, and I know that's tougher to do in the military. I understand that. But I just think that's something that in general people don't do enough. And like, it's kind of almost holding them accountable. It's like an accountability aspect saying like, okay, if you're doing this, that's fine, but you need to tell me why you're doing it. Like, what can I do differently? Or what does somebody else need to do differently? But just like, let us understand why you're making the decision you're making. And that was something that I wish I had done more coming up, is like going to those people and asking like, you know, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to do better? And why are you making this decision?
Exactly, yeah, dude.
And that's exactly what Joey was saying earlier. You're learning how to be a good follower. And one way you do that is by keeping your leaders accountable, holding them accountable and making sure that, you know, because everyone will get behind and, you know, kind of get lazy sometimes maybe and not really fully explain why they're doing something or having the people under them do a certain task or whatever.
And you would be surprised how often like you can actually get somewhere with that. Like just as a, you know, more current example, we had a staff meeting at my job on Friday and I brought up a couple things to my boss saying like, hey, you know, like we've been doing this, this, and this, and I don't think it's right, and I don't think we should be doing that, and I think we should come up with a better or different way to do it. And he was like, okay, yeah, and like we kind of discussed it and talked about like different ways we could do these certain things to make it better. But I think, you know, but the thing is, like, it took me bringing it up in the meeting. Like, had it not gotten brought up, it would have never gotten addressed, because, you know, maybe he didn't realize like we were doing something that wasn't necessarily being done a right or a good way.
Yeah. I think that translates into the Air Force as well, because they're very, very good at listening. What do they say? They say, don't come to me with a problem, come to me with a solution. And I love that, honestly, because it makes sense. Like, if you're just going to bitch about something, don't waste your breath, because I'm not going to listen. If you come to me with a problem and you think you have a solution, by all means, I'll listen all day.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't you?
Yeah. I will say, I think it is important to like still bring it, like even if it's just you complaining, I think it's at least it's something. It's better than, what's it called, like the bystander effect, where it's just like you're like, oh, someone else is definitely going to say something about this. It's like the most terrible thing ever. It's like someone's going to do something, but then everyone thinks that, so no one does it. So everyone just continues as is.
Or like being in the mindset of, it's just the way we've always done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, why? Mm-hmm. Like, what the fuck? That doesn't mean anything.
Complacency.
I always like to have an explanation for my decisions. And, you know, and I get that a lot from, you know, coaching and coaching kids especially, because you get parents don't give a shit. Parents will come right up to me and be like, oh, how come my kid doesn't play? And I'm like,
well,
your
kid sucks, ma'am.
I mean, sometimes that's the case, but you can't.
Damn it, Karen.
You can't say that.
Not
yeah.
again.
Yeah, fucking Karen. I need to speak to the manager.
Put your mask on, Karen.
Wait, are we racist now because we said Karen?
No, that's something else.
I don't think so.
Are we racist?
What? Well, I don't know. That was like a thing for
the
a while.
The fuck?
I think that's bigoted.
Karens are a race?
Apparently.
What? Karens and Kyles.
Yeah. Anyway, off topic. But yeah, anyway, so... that was something that I always made sure, because like I would have parents come up to me and be like, hey, how come my kid hasn't had as much playing time? And I would always like to have, you know, and I always did have logical or reasonable explanations why somebody's kid might not play more than somebody else's. And sometimes it's as simple as like, you know, all right, I have one third baseman on the team and I have four shortstops. So it's like, so your kid can learn how to play third base and he'll get more playing time, or the kid who plays third base is going to play all game every game and the four shortstops are going to have to split time. Yeah. Sometimes it's that simple,
I mean,
but then sometimes
it's not. As
long
as you can back it up with an explanation.
Yeah. And that's what I think needs to happen more in general and from leadership, is like, if you're going to make a decision and when people ask you about it, you have to be able to give an explanation.
So I think the common trend here that we're all kind of getting at that makes a good leader is communication.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Having
a two-way communication.
Yeah,
not just
two-way. Absolutely.
Listening or conveying your message. Definitely both.
Right.
So I've got a story of bad leadership as well. This one hits home for me because it really fucking bothered me. It was the first time I ever got yelled at work. First time ever. And I felt like I had done nothing. So,
okay, preach.
Here's a story. I'm deployed. I know my relationship's over back home. I get extended again. Go to another part of the country. I mean, world. Get extended again. After they told me they wouldn't.
Another one.
And then I got extended again.
Another one.
Again. And
couldn't be me.
I was with my squadron in the beginning. I went across the world with another squadron because their guy wasn't qualified. I did not get asked. They said, hey, pack your shit. You're going across the world. I was like, when? They're like, 2 days. I was like, well, fuck. So they go, okay. So I go across the world, you know, 4 months later, I come back home. My life's basically completely flipped upside down because I was expected to be home 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And my relationship's over. And I had to do these tests for my evaluation. I'm the NIF right now, so I'm not flying anyway, which means I can't do my job right now because I'm like medically I'm unqualified right now. So there was no rush. I didn't think anything of it, you know. I was well within my window. I still had plenty of time to do it. Some kid texted me, hey, can you come to work, do this? I said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I did it. 2 days later, I get called in. And they say, why the fuck did we have to tell you to do your testing? I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't even know this was a problem. Like, you never even reached out to me. Like, how do I know, like, this is festering inside you?
Yeah.
And then I get belittled because I was apparently causing a bad environment while deployed, and I was going through a lot of shit over there, and everyone knew it, and no one tried to get me home. And there was no communication between squadron out there or both squadrons back home. One, mine, that should have taken care of me from the get-go, even though I was with the other squadron. And then that squadron I was with didn't even bother.
Oof.
So I was like stuck between three squadrons. No one looking out for me. I literally had to book my own flight home and present it to leadership out there and say, hey, this is my way home. My replacement's here. I've coordinated my replacement because I've been communicating, been doing your job. They're here. I'm leaving. And they said, okay, yeah, that works.
Oof. Someone really dropped the ball on communication.
100%. where there were like, and I was reaching out to so many people back home. I was reaching out to our leadership back home, not the highest that goes, not commander level, you know, enlisted leadership. And I was saying, hey, I need to come home. Like, I need to get home. And yeah. They basically said, we can't, sorry. No reason. And like that, oh my God, dude. I was like, and then I get home and they're belittling me for causing a bad environment over there, which I mean, in their defense, I was talking shit. Like, I'm not going to reenlist, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm kind of over this, just that kind of stuff. And not being like, hey guys, just keep going. You know, like, we'll push through, which yeah. I should have done. However, you know, I'm struggling. You know, there's no communication to get me home. And now you're going to yell at me?
Yeah, what can you expect?
Sounds like a bad time. Reach out,
you literally know I'm struggling, and you wait till I get back home to yell at me, not reach out and say, hey, are you okay? What can we help with?
Mm.
So, dude, that hurt a lot. And, like, I went home, and clearly I'm still bitter about it because, like, that was... oh, man, dude. That was a year ago almost, and it was just like, what the fuck, man? Like, how... That is the opposite of leadership.
Yeah. They yell at you, like, get bad at you for being, like, grumpy and, like, just pissed off about the situation that they put you in.
Yes.
Like, come, like, how can you, it's like, yeah, here's a terrible situation, and they get mad at you if you're not happy about it. It's just like, what do you expect?
Well, at the same time, too, it's like, you know, you're putting in all this time and all this work and all this, you know, not for nothing, extra work. You're putting in all this extra effort. And then
2 months extra work.
Yeah, and then not only do you not get like a thank you when you get back, but you also get, you know, yelled at. And that's another thing. I was kind of thinking about what I want to talk about this episode. That was kind of something I didn't even think of, the good work punishment. And I call it like that's
what
the good work punishment is, when you're somebody who like goes above and beyond like what you're supposed to do. And then instead of kind of being thanked for that, it just becomes like the normal and becomes what's expected of you. While other people who slack just kind of are allowed to slack, your 110% becomes what's expected of you.
Yep.
Right. Yeah, and that's how you...
That's a good point.
Yeah, that's how you discredit.
Real quick, I just want to add something about Chris's story. And I just want to ask a question. Whoever, like, that leader, did it... benefit anyone by even bringing that up?
No.
Yeah,
not at all.
Like, even just if they commented on it, it doesn't benefit anyone, because like even if they thought they were genuinely like talking to you about it, and it's just like, hey, this guy needs to know, like, you can't do that, like, come on, like, just think it through. Like, there's no reason to bring that up. Just forget about it.
Or, you know, pull me aside and say, hey, I know you're struggling out there, I didn't reach out sooner, but like, how you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, dude? It's not hard.
Put yourself in the other person's shoes is a big one.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I was explaining, like, yeah, that was a shitty situation. However, you can't fucking do that, blah, 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 blah. I was like, dude, what the fuck,
That's
man?
Straight up, like, there it is, good work punishment. It's like, hey, you did all this work, but fuck you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, in that situation, I feel like it would be better for them to praise you for your good work, and... If there was like a minor thing, or maybe not even a minor thing, if there was something to be angry about, push it to the back. Just, right.
And if you, the other thing too is if you are going to bring it up, there's like a respectable way of doing that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. I was actually just looking at a quote from Dale Carnegie. It was in the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It goes along the lines of, be lavish in your praise, or no, be hearty in your approbation and lavish in your praise. And that is, he goes on to basically say, you should, exactly what I just explained, you should praise people for the good things they do, and if there was something bad that happened, just forget about it, because people will remember, they'll remember how you made them feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Appreciated.
And I know I work harder for the people who don't micromanage me, who let me do me, who, like, as long as you're getting your work done, like, I will get my work done. You don't have to worry about me. I'll take care of myself. And I work way harder than that, than someone telling me, here's this, this, and this, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, especially if they reward you for it, like, for, like, being able to take care of yourself. Like, real fast, I can talk about a good leadership point real fast. Yeah, but my first leader, that like the first person I think I looked up to, like in a professional setting, like absolutely great person, and pretty much just like taught me what I needed to do and let me do it. And just like, I know, like, you're an adult, like in the military sometimes like people are like, oh, you're like brand new, it's like they don't always treat you like an adult, but in reality you're an adult.
Yeah,
let me just be an adult. And it's just like, and it, like even on top of it, it's like if you have extra time, like this, as soon as you finish all this work, you can go do whatever. It's just like give my time back to me so I can benefit, like either like to go to school or go work out at the gym, or like even if it's just go grocery shopping so that's something I don't have to do later to help my personal life. Like, why not? Like, this is great. And like when that happened, I got all of my work done as soon as possible, because then I can just go and do whatever I needed to.
Yeah, because there's incentive on the other end.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And it wasn't just like, hey, like you can have more personal time. It's I want you to become a better person by doing these things. So get this work done, and then you can go do all of these other things to benefit yourself. Yeah. So that's the other great part of it.
I also found for me, again, you know, like back to the good work punishment thing, is like I am a hard worker, and like I don't have any problem putting in extra work and extra time. But then when that just becomes like what's expected of me, then it kind of makes me, I don't know, it makes me feel like I'm not appreciated. And then at that point, I kind of end up just being like, all right, well, now I don't really want to put in the extra work and the extra time. I kind of want to just do the bare minimum and, you know, get away with that, because why am I going to put in the extra work if I'm not going to get anything for it?
Right.
Yeah. So I think the biggest takeaway with that would be, number one, communication. If you have a good leader, good supervisor, you could feel comfortable going and telling them just that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, why is my 120% now the norm for me? Like, I'm overworking myself. Like, yeah. I can do that every now and then, but I'm overworking myself.
Which I have done with my boss.
Right. So that's good. To have that communication flow is, yeah, it's phenomenal. But like, that's
at the same time, and sorry I cut you off again, but where he is a good leader, like this is, so I know, another good leadership trait where he is a good leader is I feel comfortable that I can go to him and say that, where it's not going to cause me trouble at work because I reached out to him and said like, hey, like what the hell is going on with this?
Yeah, no, that's the best thing. And I feel bad for, so some career fields in the military are different, because I know Joey in like the maintenance world, they get worked to the bone with no gratification. And us as flyers, like, you know, we live in such a relaxed world in the Air Force compared to the rest of the Air Force. That does make sense. All right,
don't tell them our secrets.
Yeah. So for everyone not in the military listening in, the Air Force does have flying jobs, which Air Force, us three do. Joey, however, is on the ground. He doesn't fly. He fixes the planes. We try to fix them in the air. Not structurally like he does, but
we sustain them.
Yeah. Exactly.
Maintain.
I'll do it again. But yeah, so it's just a more relaxed world, because you're working with the pilots hand in hand with them. You're working with all these officers, and we're enlisted. And then, so for example, like if an officer walks into a room with us, we're like, hey, how's it going, sir? They walk in a room with Joe. Joey stands at attention and like the utmost respect. I mean, and just because like we don't do that to them doesn't mean we don't respect them, because honestly, I respect them more working alongside with them. And like when they tell you, oh, dude, don't worry about it, like that's great, because they then drop themselves to your level and you're all level. You're all the same people. Like you're all human. And that's really important to do. Like if I ever did get picked up for OTS and became an officer, I would do that. I would not have anyone stand at attention for me. I'd be like, dude, sit down. Like, yeah. I'm one of you.
At that point, you can build the respect for that person individually instead of you're respecting like just a title or just a rank. And that's honestly meaningless to most people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I can.
So Joey, yeah, let's talk about how you get dicked over a lot in the maintenance world.
Ooh. Oh, what a blast this part is. So
wrap it into some leadership aspects, though.
I'll definitely do that. I'll try to keep it brief. But now the one thing that you were talking about with, you know, the leaders walking or the officers walking in and, you know, calling the room to attention where you stand up and everything. you can definitely tell the difference between flyers and non-flyer officers because of that laid-back lifestyle. And the, like, I've talked to a few pilots, nicest people that you'll ever talk to. It's, again, as if the rank really doesn't put them above you, pretty much. You know, you can have a one-on-one conversation and have a great time, whereas the officers that I'm used to, you know, the ones who are on the ground, they come in and they, some of them try to be the nicer side, but some of them can be very demanding. And if you do anything, you know, out of line, you know, they can be dicks about it. I remember I was talking to this master sergeant, because I've known him for a while, and I wasn't really like, I was being kind of lackadaisical, laid back, talking to this guy. And they saw me, he's like, oh, so that's how we talk to Master Sergeant now, huh? And then he just walks out.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, I look at him, I'm like, oh, my God, I really did?
I've nice lifted. Interjection.
Yeah, right? I'm like, I've lifted with this Master Sergeant before. But,
yeah, like, gotten so, swole together.
I mean, your friends.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, you respect him as a person at work, but you're friendly with him. Like, and it was very passive-aggressive to just say that and walk out of the room.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, that's kind of uncalled for as a leader. If you want me to like you and respect you, no one likes this guy, again. And when I saw that, I'm like, yeah, I don't care about you anymore.
Yeah, right. If he really wanted to say something, which really there's no need. However, he could have just pulled you to the side and said, hey, you know, just maybe next time just be a little more respectful around, at least at work.
Exactly.
And then boom. Problem solved. Instead of sounding like a dickhead,
just be more personal. Yeah, and you don't have to call someone out in front of an audience. You know,
yeah
pulling someone aside, pulling them into a room afterwards or later on in the day, that's a perfect way to handle it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a prime example of what I talked about before when I was saying about like kind of the fine line between like being the cool guy and being a dick. Like, that guy was being a dick, and Joe made my point for me perfectly, because he kind of said, like, you know, he was being a dick, and I didn't have like any respect for him after that. Like, it didn't make me like him better or respect him more.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's about also not only retaining respect and like expecting respect from your subordinates, but also deserving that respect. Like, what are you doing as a leader that people are going to respect you, and how can you change to get that respect even more?
Yeah, exactly. And I could talk on a few other stories as well. With the, I know we talked about the story or the trait of making hard decisions or making the right ones. I think one example of this was that I wanted to take leave one day and I didn't have my training done, and per policy, we are not allowed to take leave if we have any training that is required to be done. And so my training was required to be done by the 15th of the month, and it was like maybe the first or second. So technically I had to do it, even though it wasn't due for another 2 weeks. And I walked into the office of my one supervisor, the one I was talking about earlier, and I'm like, hey, sir, you know, I put in the leave. He's like, yeah, I saw that, but you know, you still have leave, or you still have training that you need to do. He's like, right now I could just say, fuck your leave, and then deny it, and, you know, nothing. You won't go anywhere until you get it done. But he's like, but I know you. I know you're going to get it done. So he's like, I'll let you go. And that was, like, a great leadership moment for me, you know, me respecting him. He's saying, he can technically deny my leave. I can't go anywhere. But he was able to trust in me, because he knows I'm a good worker, and then he made the decision of, hey, I'm not going to, you know, not necessarily follow the rules, but I'm going to let it slide because I know he's going to get it done.
Yeah. So to tie it all in, a lot of the good traits of leadership that we talked about was communication, trust, like you just mentioned. What other ones did we touch on today?
Being a follower, which is kind of communication to some degree, but
right, and then being personable.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And taking care of your people.
Yeah. So taking care of them and earning that respect.
I mean, that's their entire job as a leader. Your entire job is to take care of the people below you.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Care about them on a personal level and a professional level.
Right. Excellent. And then some bad leadership qualities, some stuff to stay away from would be, you know, just straight up demanding stuff, not having that communication, basically the opposites of everything we just listed. Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot to learn, you know. So whenever you go throughout life and, you know, you're looking up to someone, or say you have a boss you don't really respect, ask yourself, like, what would I do if I was in that position? And then, like Rumsey said before, ask to clarify or ask for an explanation as to why some of these decisions are being made. And then maybe you'll get a better understanding, because you might not know what's going on in their head, in their world, like why they have to make these decisions. But the least they could do is explain to you why. And so I think no matter what you're doing in life, there's always a good side and a bad side, and you need to take the good out of all of it and realize what you're not going to do in the future and what you are going to do in the future. And every experience is a learning experience.
All right, guys, this has been Lessons Learned. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and go follow our other social media pages linked in the description. From all of us here at Lessons Learned, have a good day and see ya!